السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي، وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulamae kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, it is once again the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, and we have had two nikahs. So as is traditional in this masjid, that whenever we have a nikah program, then at that time, whatever the topic we may have been discussing the weeks before that, but we switch over to something on nikah itself. We were discussing Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam's life. And one ordinary shepherd once asked Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam that how did you reach such high stages in your life? Such high stages, how did you reach? So he mentioned some things which we have discussed at length over the number of Jummas. But one of the things that he mentioned amongst those very important things was that he controlled himself from adultery, fornication, lustful glances. He exercised great control, and that was one of the reasons that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him such heights. Now, how can a person really control his gaze, or how can a person really control his heart, or how can a person restrain himself from fornication if he is not going to make nikah? So it is somehow linked to the subject that we were discussing. That in our times this has become a major problem. If we have to look at our youth, whether they are male or female, boys or girls, we know that what is happening at the schools, is it any secret anymore? The statistics are proving what is happening. Thousands of school pupils, even at the primary level, they have become sexually active. Now imagine at the high school stage. I mentioned a week or two ago that one doctor from the Transvaal, Gauteng as they say now, he said that just in 4 months, 22 Muslim schoolgirls came for abortion. 22. And that is what came to him. What about the others that are going to other places? So at such a time, how important it becomes that we undertake this institution of nikah very seriously. Being the month of Rabiul Awwal, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings are being discussed everywhere. We have lengthy talks and discussions and conferences and seminars on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that nikah is my way of life. And nikahu min sunnati, it is my way of life. And whosoever turns away from this institution, from this way of life of mine, that means he does not undertake nikah. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, falaysa minni. He can consider himself as being my ummati, but I have got no love for him, no interest in him. Of course, we have to understand that this does not mean that any person and every person falls under this category. There are sometimes very valid and legitimate reasons why a person does not marry. Those are exceptions. But I am talking about the general situation in our community, where our boys and our girls, if they are at the universities and colleges, then parents are not interested in getting them married until they have completed their courses. I mentioned once before too, and I repeat, that one girl from Wits University, she wrote to me, she says, Maulana, what do I do? I've already had 2 abortions, but my father says that I will never get you married until you complete your course. So who is going to be responsible then for the sins that these people are going to indulge in? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his seerat is very, very comprehensive. There's no Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whose life has been as comprehensive, or whose teachings have been as comprehensive as that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Take any aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. Very, very comprehensive. And he did not leave any field of life uncovered, but that he gave some kind of direction of how a person should go about. You take all the books of jurisprudence, you will find such detailed discussion on marriage, on talaq, on hula, on iddat, the different kinds of talaqs. All those things have been discussed. What are the requirements for nikah? When will a nikah be regarded as valid and when it will be considered invalid? Now, why is there so much discussion? Because it is an extremely important part of a person's life. All those religions that went on the extreme and they said that you don't have to marry to get some kind of connection with your Creator, you must not get married, because if you get married, it will affect your spirituality. So all those who went on to that extreme, we know what happened. Take the monasteries, who does not know how much of zina takes place and how many children were born illegitimate. In the monasteries, whether they are monks or nuns, it is a natural instinct that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept in man, and if they are not going to find fulfillment of that in a proper way, then they will engage and indulge in zina. That is what the Western society has given to us. That don't get married until you are able to afford a big mansion, a big palace, you can afford a big luxurious car, you can afford a wedding in a massive hall, then you must only get married. As a result, the person will engage, if he is proposed, then he is going to continue with his courting. And I have mentioned before too, and I repeat, that those who court for years, most of those marriages we found ending in the court. Because they court, after that they end up in the court. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a very beautiful deen. He gave direction, he gave advice to each and every party that is involved in this marriage or nikah. First of all, the young people who are of marriageable age. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses them and says, Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj fa innahu aghaddu lil-basar wa ahfaz wa ahfazu lil-farj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wa ahsanu lil-farj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who has got the ability to marry, financial, physical, but as I indicated, that it does not mean that the person has to have so much that by the time he accumulates that much, he has already involved himself in so much of sin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such. Look at our parents, grandparents and people of the past. Young age they used to get married. One person used to look after 10 children. One old man, one corner shop, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to give them so much of barakat that he takes care of 10 children, plus he goes for umrah and hajj, and then he sends money to his village and builds masjids and madrasas. When they undertook everything according to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's direction, Allah ta'ala then gave barakat. So if the person has got ability, that means the person must not be an unemployed person, he doesn't have any kind of income, and the person says, I want to get married. Lots of young people today, they say we want to get married, but they've got absolutely no income, they're not standing on their feet, and they are going to be a burden on others, then those are the people that we are referring to. But if the person has got some kind of job, some kind of profession, the person is a fit and a healthy person, then he should not look for too many or too high a bank balance, he should undertake nikah. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that is something that will protect the person from zina. That's what it means. It will protect the person from zina and it will protect the person's eyes from haram. Now again the question arises, there are lots of people that we know in our society that they are married, but they are just casting their gazes everywhere. Or they are involved with so many other women. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you must, that it will protect the person's gaze too and protect him from zina too. So everyone knows that when we go for an operation or when we go to the doctors and the doctor gives some prescription after diagnosing our sickness and ailment, or the hakims, then they will say that this is the diet now, you must go on this diet. If the person stays on that diet, then it benefits him. But if he does not go on the diet, then definitely it is going to cause him harm, or he's not going to recover from that sickness. The person who has sugar problem, but he loves sweets and chocolates and halwa and the soji and the jalebi. So now that person, no matter what kind of prescription the doctor will give him, if he does not go on a diet also, then it's not going to help. So in the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that this will protect, then it will definitely protect. But then there is a diet also, that there has to be haya and shame in the person's heart. He has to control his gaze from the TVs, from the movies, from the Hollywood and Bollywood pictures, from the porn sites on the internet, and from those pretty faces that are on the streets. The person will have to control his gaze from all those kind of things. He'll have to go on a diet from sins. Then it is definitely going to help him, and this person will then truly enjoy a blissful marriage. At present, there is no enjoyment in a person's married life. Homes are on fire. And the reason for that is that we have given our hearts to everyone outside. Now, when the person has given his heart to women outside, or the woman has given her heart to someone that is outside, like one woman, if 2 or 3 years ago when the Pakistani cricketers came to South Africa, then she says that my husband took me to the cricket ground. I'm not a one who was very keen on going, but he took me to the cricket ground. He says, Pakistani cricketers are playing. She says, after going to the ground, what happened? She says, one Pakistani cricketer stole my heart. She says, he stole my heart. She says, now although I am sleeping with my husband, but I'm fantasizing about that cricketer. Now can you imagine, will that wife ever be happy with this husband anymore? Now who is the cause of the destruction of the happiness of this home? So many incidents, which one are we going to cry over? These are not fairy tales that we tell you. The woman is now wanting some kind of prescription or some kind of remedy. How can she now bring her heart back to her husband? So the husband is the one that caused the problem, and now we must sit with that problem. So what I am getting across to you is that there has to be a diet also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the one hand addressed the young people, and he told them that those who have the ability to marry, they must marry. That means don't delay the marriage unnecessarily, as one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam I discussed some time back in one of the nikahs, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that don't delay 5 things. Ajjilu, hasten, be quick with regards to your salat, qabla al-fawt, before you miss your salat, before this salat becomes qaza. Don't delay that salat. It could be the last salat of your life. You never know whether you will get an opportunity to make salat again. Why leave this world in a condition that you missed your salat? Now imagine those who miss salat upon salat. How are they going to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So he says, don't delay your salat. Second thing he said, that don't delay your tawbah. Hasten with your tawbah qabla al-maut. Before death overtakes you, make tawbah, make sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah means that the person regrets the sins that he committed. He makes every intention not to return to those sins. And if it involves the rights of people, then he has to make sure that he pays back to whomsoever whatever is due. If it was inheritance property that the person had usurped and digested, then just making tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah in the masjid, or going and shedding tears at the Arafat plains every year is not sufficient. Those property has to be returned. The So rights of people, the person must ask for forgiveness or return. Namaz, roza, zakat, start the qazas. Then that is sincere tawbah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, don't delay that. The third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that if there is a young woman who has found a suitable match, does not mean again that the person just throws his daughter away. Some parents are pressurizing their daughters. They don't have a good proposal, but the parents are feeling burdened that their daughters are in their homes, and they are putting pressure upon them, that you are a burden upon me, get married and get away from my house. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Yet those parents don't know, the father does not know, that his risk and sustenance is being given because of those kind of girls in his home, that they haven't found a good proposal and therefore they are sitting. All those weak ones and the sick ones and the handicapped ones, the risk of is given to the father to spend on that child. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that then don't delay that. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you are owing anybody any money, then don't delay. Don't delay the payment. Pay the person as quickly as possible. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the fifth thing he said, that janaza, once it is ready, then don't delay the burial. Don't keep waiting for people coming from other parts of the world. Bury the person. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses the youth and tells them must get married. Then the other party to it is now the bride. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives the husband some kind of direction, or the future husband, the person who is a prospective groom, that what must he choose. So he says, don't go for wealth, don't go for property, don't go for beauty, don't go for a family status and position. تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. Generally these are the things that people look at. There's nothing wrong if the woman has got deen, she's got piety, she understands the rights of Allah Ta'ala, of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She has been trained, she has been disciplined, she has been given the proper upbringing, and then she's got beauty, she's got wealth, she's got everything, then it's a bonus, alhamdulillah. But if the person is going to only look at beauty, or only look at wealth, or only look at family status, then these are things that fluctuate. Today the person can be very, very prominent, and the next day there's nothing. The person can be very wealthy today, the next day the person is begging. The great, great, great grandchildren of the Mughal kings, they are on the streets of Delhi, some of them are begging. So this is something that we cannot have any kind of foundation placed on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, therefore, marry for the sake of deen. So that's a direction he gave to them. Now quickly I'm trying to conclude. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now he gave instruction to the young people. Now the person is looking for a bride, so he told what kind of a bride you should look for. Then look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's comprehensive deen and religion. Then what about the girl herself? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses those people who are guardians, or those people who have daughters. إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزٌ. Meaning this, that if a proposal has come from a young person or from any kind of person, but as long as you are happy and pleased with his good character, with his good behavior, with his good morals, with his disciplined life, with his piety, with his taqwa, then get your daughters married to him. Get those who are under your care married to him. If you are not going to do that, then there's going to be widespread fitna and dissension on earth. Widespread. Because if you're not going to get them married to such kind of people, so then you will have to wait for them to get married to those who are not going to fulfill their rights. They're going to hurt them. They're going to cause them injury and pain. And then it's going to also lead to a lot of zina, because girls are not going to get married, then there's going to be zina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses them, that what kind of proposal you should accept. Then the last party that is left now is, or the both parties now, both the husband's and the wife's side. Now the proposal has been put, everything is ready for the marriage. So nothing in between. Nothing in between. Simple and easy, practical, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is my way of life. So there's no need for fancy engagement parties, nothing of that sort. Simple, next thing you go for is nikah. And the nikah also, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Inna azaman nikahi barakatan aisarahu mahuna. The best nikah from the barakat point of view. That means if you want real blessings in the marriage, in the nikah, if you have already taken care of the other aspects and now you want barakat in that marriage, then that marriage is full of barakat, in which there is the least amount of difficulty, least amount of expenditure that is incurred. Simple, simple nikah if the person makes, then it will be full of barakat, not the other way round. Now look at the beautiful teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave advice to the bridegroom, to the bride, to the parties concerned in this marriage, everything. Now you can look up the details in the books of Seerah and you will find beautiful, beautiful direction. So we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless these couples also with a life of bliss and happiness, a life of piety and taqwa. Allah ta'ala bless them with pious and righteous children in the marriage. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must unite their hearts in muhabbat and love and affection, and give us all the tawfiq of being obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.